Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we embark on a search for God's guidance. First, let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is with us to lead us and to guide us. As we examine your word, please help us to hear you speaking to us in new ways. Give us hope for the future, and also to believe that we can each hear from you. In Jesus' name, Amen. I'm reading today from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 36 to 40, and I'm reading from the NIV. This is about Gideon's call from God. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. I think we're all familiar with that moment when someone comments, almost jokingly and in some instances quite seriously, that this or that event or occurrence is a sign, meaning it signals that something important is about to take place. From a biblical perspective, a sign was something from God that gave direction or declared a problem to those with whom he was communicating. And a sign would also be something that declared God's will, which is what we read about with the call of Gideon to be God's instrument in delivering the nation of Israel from the grip of the Midianite people. We know that the seeking of signs to know the will of the gods was part of the ancient world and was also part of Israel's life even under the Old Covenant. For example, the high priest used something called a Urim and Thummim, which was stowed in a sleeve or pouch behind his breastplate. Whether they were colored stones or something carved, they were used to determine God's will in a matter to seek guidance as the high priest reached in and pulled these items out. In other places in the Old Testament, God's will was communicated through a prophet, who in turn heard from God by way of a dream, a vision, or a voice, signs of a different kind, if you will. Astonishingly, the New Testament also has examples of finding God's will by interesting methods. For example, in Acts chapter 1, the disciples cast lots to know God's will in the appointment of a new apostle to replace Judas. Be that as it may, modern-day Christians have coined the phrase to put out a fleece, which is the term popularly used to get guidance from God. This phrase was first discovered in print in the 1940s. From Christian to Christian then, believing that this is a method to know God's will, the version of the fleece test varies. Here are some examples of what that may look like. One person may say, "I was thinking about getting a new camera, and suddenly our old one just broke. Clearly, God was leading us to buy a new one." Another says, "I'm still not sure if I'm supposed to move to Johannesburg, so I'm going to put my house on the market, and if it sells within a week, then that's God's sign he wants me to go there." In another instance, one might say, "I really want to marry this girl, but I'm not totally sure if it's God's will. If she comes up to me at lunch today and asks to eat with me, then I'll take it as a sign that she's the one." Another person might say, "I'm not sure if God is calling me into the mission field. Therefore, if our pastor preaches on missions this Sunday, then I'll know I should go into the mission field." And finally, someone might say, "I'm going to close my eyes, open up my Bible at random, and whatever verse I point to, that will be God's will for me." I think that we can all agree, in all of these instances, that this is not a healthy way to go about getting guidance from God. So now, let's look briefly at what happened with Gideon and consider the question, is this how God intended for us to conduct our walk of faith with Him, especially when we are not exactly sure how to proceed in a situation? To begin with, we must ask, was Gideon wrong in asking God for reassurance by means of a wet or dry fleece? Had God not made His will clear to him already at the time of his call in Judges chapter 6, verse 14 to 16? Indeed, He had. At the same time, it is understandable that Gideon was anxious over his impending conflict with Midian, especially since there was a huge difference in numbers between the Israelites and Midianites, not to mention the difference in weaponry, meaning that the Midianites were far better equipped than the Israelites. And of course, finally, the generally low morale of the Israelite soldiers. Some people think he was still wrong in doubting God. Yet the question remains, did Gideon use a proper type of test, if one could call it that? Supposing a test is permissible, isn't it wrong to ask God to accommodate our weaknesses, to assure us through physical signs or miracles of a word He has already spoken? Another issue that raises objections by commentators is the fact that Gideon did not keep his word. Gideon promised that he would know God was going to use him to deliver Israel if he made the fleece wet and left the ground dry. Even though God complied, Gideon insisted on running the same experiment in reverse before he would believe. So what can we say, not only about Gideon, but also about modern believers who wish to employ similar tactics in order to get God's guidance, or, as in the case of Gideon, to validate the will of the Lord for them? Is this a sign of unbelief or lack of faith? What is clear from the text is that Gideon struggled. He wasn't a military man, nor a significant figure in his father's household. For this reason, he wanted God to provide his overwhelmed mind with more evidence, as we can see from his statement in verse 37. Then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. So he actually was responding to God's call. At worst, then, we may see him as hesitant, but not unbelieving. Let's look now at the matter of asking for signs. If we were to ask God for a sign, would we not be acting like the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day who always wanted a sign, especially to validate the message and the messenger? And also, how specific is the will of God in our ordinary everyday life? It's clear that, during the Old and New Testament era, God often gave very specific, detailed instructions for particular actions. So we must ask, is Judges 6 really an invitation for all believers to demand similar exactness? Must the will of God be so absolutely clear for us to require a miracle? For when we consider the boldness of Gideon, he not only asks for a sign, but he specifies what that sign should be. And even though the sign is not complex, it definitely involved a miracle. And because God responded in this fashion, Gideon's faith was strengthened. And it's fair to suppose that after a long period, the fears he had about the Midianites, which were no doubt the same fears felt by the rest of his countrymen, fears which had drained their collective ability to trust God were finally removed. But is it our business to press God for miraculous signs so that we can know for sure what to do? I'm sure we might all say yes, and one would agree that there are life choice moments that require a high degree of clarity. Yet still we are not invited to put out a fleece, so to speak. Gideon had approached God in prayer, and there he had found his courage renewed and fortified. His persistence in approaching God was certainly not wrong. And actually, he provides a model for us when we are overwhelmed by internal struggles and when challenges seem too great for us to handle. It is good to go to God in prayer and keep on going, not simply to nag, but as an act of faith. Thus, we must resist the temptation to press God for signs, For this passage in no way provides encouragement to people to assume they can expect God to back up each of his instructions with whatever signs we may request. God could just as well have refused Gideon's request. The fact that he didn't does not set a precedent so that we can come to God and say, "You did it for Gideon, so please do it for me." Of course, God may be pleased to repeat such an act of mercy and provide a sign, but he is not obliged to satisfy our desire for physical miracles to confirm his will. And as one person put it, in the end, it is a lazy way of wanting to know God's will. And when he says lazy, he's not referring to Gideon. As we end then, the idea of seeking a sign can also be misused as a means to get out of what God wants us to do. For example, one may say, "God, if you want me to bless so-and-so with this gift, let them be in church this morning. If they aren't, then I'll know you don't want me to do so." The bottom line is this: Gideon did not put out the fleece to figure out what God wanted. He already knew God's will. That was plain within the first few minutes of his meeting with the angel. He put out the fleece even though he already knew what he was supposed to do. It was something then that fortified his faith and strengthened his resolve. So what is required of us in this day and age is obedience to the Word of God, and this implies that we should know our Bible well. Here are some things that we should avoid then when in search of God's guidance. First of all, we should never make big decisions in the heat of the moment. That hardly ever ends up very well. Secondly, we should always realize that often God is already stirring up in our hearts something about a matter or a direction he wants us to take. Anything that comes over and above it should serve to confirm that. That extra something should not be the leading light in our decisions. At the end of the day, we should trust that many of the issues we will face, God has already been preparing our hearts for, so that his peace will prevail when we take steps in the right direction. And so may God help us as we learn to know his will more and more each day, listening carefully to the promptings of the Holy Spirit along with God's word. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that in our search for guidance and trying to discover your will, we can trust that you will lead us and save us from conflating our human desires with your best intentions and will for us. And where we come short of the mark, we trust that you will bring us back on course, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.